coming up on Path to Zero.
During our conversations when we talk about building, because everyone goes to the budget first, right? What's this going to cost me, right? And now you start hearing about carbon footprint.
Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Your host is Tucker Perkins, engineer, entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, and clean energy industry veteran, who now serves as president and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Now, here's Tucker.
Hi, we're so excited to be on the road for a special edition of Path to Zero podcast. We're at the 2024 Southern Living Idea Home in lovely Kiowa River, right outside of Charleston, South Carolina. 4,500 square foot home demonstrating the latest innovations in home building and also in design, including lots of propane powered appliances. I'm joined today by a panel of experts in home construction. Tom Dillard is the president of Dillard Jones, and he's the builder of this 2024 Southern Living Idea House. Matt Blashaw is one of Perk's sponsored builders, great guy, and he's the owner of Blashaw Residential, specializing in high-quality residential services in the Kansas City and greater Missouri area. Will King, he's also one of Perk's sponsored builders. He's the president of High Cotton Homes, a full-service building company in Northwest Alabama. Great to have him. Thank you for joining us here on the Path to Zero. So we'll get right to it. We have a beautiful backdrop in the Southern Living Idea House in the coastal low country of South Carolina. The home features the latest and greatest features available in residential construction today. As experts who work in this field every day, what are some of the trends you're seeing, or what are some of the things your customers are asking about? Tom, I'll start with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, first of all. Yeah, I think a lot of things have changed over the years. Today, people are definitely interested in independence as far as their house being able to take care of itself when something happens, like a storm. I think safety, security are all very important to people today, but also being able to live where they want. So not having to be close to a city or something so they get the power and the energy they need to power their lives.
Love it. Independence, security, live where you want.
Live where you want.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think kind of to piggyback on that, a lot of people are asking me for backup generators now because, you know, our world, our weather is changing. We're getting a lot more power outages. So really, you know, home is about safety, right? And when you go into a home, you want to feel safe. So that backup generator ensures that you're going to have lights on, you're going to have a furnace, you're going to have a power for years to come, or, you know, for days to come. And propane, you know, especially out here, this house is really a trophy for how propane is used. I've never seen a house, this used by propane in my life. And so even the generator out here.
That's right.
And we're in, you know, a very environmentally sensitive area. So it's just beautiful to kind of see how all that propane, you know, how that power propane comes together just to create something so gorgeous here.
Will, how about in Alabama? The customers asking for something different there?
Yeah, these guys answered most of the questions, I think. But one thing that I guess to go a step further would be the efficiency side, right? So we pay a lot of attention to our envelopes at our in our projects. And then also the energy that goes into heating and cooling them is something we all pay attention to, too. And some of our customers are more into it than others, but we do that through high efficiency furnaces and water heaters. And so oftentimes it is propane, depending on where we're building. But, you know, being able to see this one that Tom's put together is awesome. I got an attic earlier and got to see the cool things that are happening with the heat pump. So I'm excited to talk about that too.
Only you would climb in
there. Oh yeah,
I got in there.
And got back out.
Yeah, I didn't fall through.
I was a little nervous.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Tom, there's no hole in your ceiling, so don't sweat it.
Yeah. I love talking about efficiency because you think about it, I guess, from the building envelope. A lot of customers think about it from their bills that they have.
Sure.
Lower bills if you're more efficient. And then as the conversation turns to resiliency and the environment, it also means so much better for the environment. We're using less fuel and getting all the energy out of that fuel. So I love it when you guys talk about that. A lot of words I hadn't heard before. You use safety in a completely different word sometimes than I think about it. You used, you know, a lot of terms I don't think about. It's great. So let's keep going. As we're seeing a lot of growth in this residential marketplace, I think we see that homes want to be clean, safe, reliable, to keep us on the path to zero. Residential construction is about 50%, I think, of the propane used in the U.S. All right, let's talk about our next topic, maybe building anywhere. Let's talk about that. Single-family housing starts are forecast to rise 9%, just over a million homes in 2024, and then continued growth is forecast for 25 and 26. 58% of those homes are in new residential developments, just like we see here. What do you think about today's current residential market? What are the biggest challenges? The land available? I know I hear developers all the time talk about just cannot find A lots, much less B lots or C lots. The pace of new construction maybe seems to be outstripping the availability of lots, and certainly good lots. So let's talk about kind of land development, acquisition, lot availability to you. What are the trends you're seeing? And maybe, Matt, I'll start with you there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're right in, you know, the suburbs, right? So I build a lot on the outskirts. I come from California. Propane was really not in our scope. And when I got out to Kansas City, I started building rural near lakes. My father-in-law is a custom home builder as well. I got to see just how independent someone could be. And it's a beautiful thing, especially in this climate, in this market. You have high interest rates. You have, you know, less inventory. You have people that are wanting to get out, wanting to grow, wanting to get a bigger home. And then they're paying astronomical prices for lots, right? Because there's just not that much available. So by having that energy independence, by having that propane, you're able to build, you know, like we're at right now, in a place where, you know, you couldn't before, where you had to bring in, you'd bring in natural gas or bring in other energy forms. So I think the options for homeowners and the options, I think, are a great thing. And I think for us delivering this information to them kind of opens their eyes, where they say, well, I don't necessarily have to be here. I don't have to be where it's already planned out. I can already go and build my own and just have a better home, you know, spend less money and a home that's gonna be more energy efficient. And one of the things they always think of is, well, who's gonna deliver it to me? And I think that's a huge concern that I always hear with propane, but those energy providers are there. They've been doing it for years. They know your needs before you do. And you always have enough to be able to, you know, for your family. And then they start seeing the energy efficiency of them as well. So the independence for me and for my clients, I think, is a huge key element when it comes to building with propane.
It's funny, you talk about the people that deliver the energy. It's one of the things that I think is part of the wonderful story. This home is a great example. The provider of propane to this home lives in the community. All of his employees live right here. They not only know the needs of the builders, but when this transitions from builder to homeowner, he will be the perfect partner to the homeowner and see that if they need new appliances or they need new services, he'll be there for them. So it's, to me, it's something that, as you say, maybe most people don't think about. They're used to just dialing 1-800, I need electricity, or I need utilities. And it's much different with the propane community. They're part of your neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Will, how about for you?
Yeah, so in North Alabama, we're building rural as well. Like, we also have a lot of lake life we're building on there on the Tennessee River. And some of it is close enough to town where you get your typical infrastructure, right? Your natural gas that may or may not be available. But then the further out we get, which is probably 80% of our builds, not available. And so I think between people moving to our area that are wanting vacation homes or wanting secondary homes, or even just people wanting to get out with their families away from town, we're seeing a lot of that too. Propane is what enables that to be delivered, you know, efficiently and comfortably. Because, you know, one thing about it, if you're going to be out, you're going to lose power. Yeah. You know, we don't have hurricanes in Alabama, but we certainly have tornadoes and thunderstorms.
We have a solution with being out of power and using propane, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do.
We have a lot. Pretty good solution here.
We do a lot of this. Yeah, a lot of them. Me and Kohler are pretty close.
So, Tom, this is a good example where natural gas isn't even available in this neighborhood. So I guess as you're thinking about energy choices, you're down to really two, electricity or propane.
Yeah, and you know, what I really saw after COVID, people really wanted to live where they wanted to. A lot of them wanted to get out of cities. Now they can work from home with Zoom. And so that really broadened where people want to live and how they want to live. And so, you know, being able to have that backup capacity if something goes wrong. You know, my clients always ask me, do I need a generator? I'm like, you can either buy it now or later after something bad happens.
At twice the price.
And your house is damaged, right? Like it gets too cold, too hot, whatever happens. So I really think with all these changes, people are really looking to live where they want to. And in fact, where we are today on John's Island, there is no natural gas. They can't run it. And so if we were dependent just on electricity, when something happened, the power's off, the house would be unprotected, the lights would be off, it wouldn't be safe, mm-hmm. we wouldn't keep it in condition. And so that just gives us that level of independence that we would not have otherwise.
Yeah, and you wouldn't tell that this house was on propane. You don't see the tank.
No.
Because it's buried.
Yeah, it's a 1,000-gallon tank buried in the yard. You know, someone shows up every couple of weeks and checks on it and keeps it full. So, I mean, it's very carefree.
That's right.
And as builders, you don't really care whether you're building with natural gas or propane from the choice of appliances or the things you offer. It's really, perhaps, for I would say, generally, if natural gas is available, you choose it. But when natural gas isn't available, you choose propane, but you use your same systems. Doesn't that sound right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's good. All right. That leads us right into thinking about sustainability for just a few moments. And probably nowhere is that better spoken to than right here, is, you know, we're just in this delicate ecosystem, right? The ocean just a few miles away, the Kiowa River, literally right here. But, you know, just surrounded by these famous, you know, live oaks of South Carolina. How important is it to think about for your own brand, for your homes, and really for the homeowners that live in your homes, how important is sustainability and the environment to you?
Well, I think in this particular project, it was the most important thing. You know, there's a live oak tree 10 feet away in both directions from us here. So everything here had to be in harmony with nature. There's a bird that lives in that tree in his nest there. So, you know, there are alligators behind us. I mean, you know, we're the visitors here. You know, nature was here first. Our job is to not impact that in any negative way, but also allow people that live here to enjoy it. And so, you know, using clean fuels, using things that make sense for the environment are super important to our clients and to us as a company.
Yeah,
that's good. I will say, I mean, I think one of our focuses with our clients is basically using, you know, basically just less energy, right? I mean, we can build a better home and use less energy overall, regardless of what the source is, right? If we build a better house, we build a more airtight envelope, we build a more, you know, a higher R value wall assembly, we can lower the demand, the tonnage we need for heating and cooling. So I start there, and then we package it with high efficiency equipment, and being able to do that with our heat pumps, the gas furnaces, or if we do a heat pump using the hydronic system, makes a big difference in the overall efficiency of it. And what I like most about that too is that it also lowers the need for that standby generator's output.
Right.
And that's always a big conversation about how big is the generator going to be, or how much, you know, or even just how big is our electrical service on our house. You know, there was a time where 400 amp services were about impossible to get. So we were having to make do with smaller services, but you can do that by utilizing more gas. So
use more gas appliances,
right?
Reduce the size of your generator, lower initial cost, lower operating cost, and really you can run it for a longer time.
That's right.
With the same amount of fuel. Mm-hmm. Win, win, win.
It really is.
And better for the environment.
Yeah, it actually makes me feel, it makes me feel confident. It makes me feel happy that people are actually, during our conversations when we talk about building, because everyone goes to the budget first, right? What's this going to cost me, right? And now you start hearing about carbon footprint, right? Mm-hmm. And what could I do to be a little bit greener? And I think that kind of mentality is really starting to come in, right, as we keep on talking about it, as we keep on, you know, showing people, you know, what's an environmentally friendly way to build, what's a green way of build. So it's up to us, right, to be able to kind of deliver that to the client.
Well, and to educate them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know. That's why they're hiring a
builder.
They
want to do the right thing, but don't know what that means. Yeah,
exactly.
Times, right?
And like the heat pump helper that we have here, the propane-powered heat pump helper, that's an innovation.
Yeah. That's right.
And it's those innovations that are really a key to not only energy efficiency, but it's great for us, you know, as builders to be able to say, hey, this is what can, you know, not only save you money, but is also a better way, you know, for the environment. You tie that all in, right? And I think that education delivering from us to them, I think is vital so they can make those correct choices when they're building the house. Yeah. And again, this is a perfect house to kind of show, you know, all those amazing qualities that we can get just from innovation.
One of the things we do in any home we're ever involved in, we compare the carbon intensity of this home compared to had it been all electric. And it's interesting because as I come to South Carolina, South Carolina has a pretty strong, pretty clean electric grid. South Carolina relied on nuclear power for a long time, and it's very dominant in the electric system. But even this home today is 13% lower in greenhouse gas emissions than it would be if it was all electric, right, because you're choosing efficient appliances. Mm-hmm. But you know, people believe sometimes the narrative, the only way to get to a cleaner climate is by choosing only electricity. And this home is a living proof that that's really not true. In fact, by choosing propane, you not only have gotten independence, you've not only gotten safety, mm-hmm, security, lifestyle you want, you're being better for the environment, in this case, quantitatively by 13%. Mm-hmm. It's really a fascinating story. Mm-hmm. All right, let's spend a few moments on a real timely topic, which is national disasters. Mm-hmm. Tom, you lived through Hurricane Debbie just a few, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
right?
The opening of this house was actually scheduled for when she arrived.
Yeah, tropical storm.
So she made it, well, no one else did.
Tropical storm is beating off the coast of the land.
She didn't get a ticket.
I mean, as we speak, a lot of large-scale homes. We can talk about some of the great events. If you're a Texan, you don't have to go too far without thinking about Winter Storm Uri. Each of you have your own experiences as you think about national disasters and power outages. But as builders, building for customers, tell us how you think about disasters, power outages, and maybe how you work around that. You want to go first, Will?
Sure, I'll go. So you guys may know that I was a fireman for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so part of that, we were involved in a lot of heavy rescue responses to all the tornadoes that blew through the Southeast like they always do. I actually lived through the one back in, I guess it was 2011, that ripped through Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And that was my firsthand experience of what a real natural disaster was. Because you can prepare for it as a builder, but I think until you've actually had to live through part of it, it makes more sense, you know? Taking all that, plus all the things we did as firemen over the 10 years doing all kinds of tornado response, that seems to be, I guess, what we were responding to the most as far as natural disasters. Standby generators, obviously, a big deal. We always try to, even if the customer doesn't have the budget to do it initially, we always try to talk them into the transfer switch,
right,
and the stub out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure it's easy for you when you decide that you do have the money. Setting them up for success there. And then I think also by, resiliency of construction as a whole is big for me. We build to the fortified standard in the South or in Alabama. Just wind resilient, you know, hopefully you don't lose a roof in the high wind event. But if you do lose part of your roof covering, sealed roof decks. Like we think through all those different assemblies. Safe rooms are big for us because, yep, I mean, obviously
we'll build safe rooms every once in a while.
I would say most of our houses all have them. Hmm. Yeah. So you couple all that up with the ability to have energy and when the grid goes down for maybe a week. Some of these rural areas, even in an ice storm or a tornado event, it may be 10 days without power. And so that's a long time if you can't even get out, you know, because in Alabama, you know, we don't have snowplows.
Yeah.
We don't have salt trucks. So we're stuck right there.
You just opened the door for Matt because you're talking about you've opened up the word tornado. I heard him, he already shared with us, you know, his first experiences coming into Kansas. Matt, how do you think about disaster prep and resilience in your homes?
You know, I've been through some big earthquakes. Big ones. Northridge was one of them, threw me out of bed in California. I moved to Kansas. Wow. There is nothing scarier than a tornado in the middle of the night.
Don't know where it's coming from.
And you don't know where it's coming from. And really, your cell phone is not really of use. It tells you when it's coming, but you can't see where it's coming from. You have a radio. And I realized once we had a small one that came through town, about 3 blocks from our house. And, you know, my wife said my dignity was swallowed up with that tornado because I was doing like
hiding under the bed.
Yeah, what the dad does. I was looking outside just to see how. She's like, "Well, just get away from the windows." I really didn't know, and I realized just how unprepared I was. And so of course, you know, latest building trends, you know, secure tie downs, everything, you know, that's one thing, but going back to that propane generator.
So building not only maybe to code, but generally above code.
Above code,
above
and beyond.
Above
and beyond, And I think that's important too, is that, you know, we never cut corners, and I know you guys are just as quality, making sure that you're doing, you know, more than, you know, what's expected, and making sure that you're double checking the engineering. And if there is a change, making sure that change is going to be sufficient enough, right, for the structure of that house. But what really sells you know, it's not really a sell, but when I talk to people about propane, you know, typically they're using that transfer switch. I love the transfer switch. It's a portable generator that you bring out. You don't have to have the, you know, the one that, mm-hmm. you
big
know,
one, right.
the big one. You can have a one that you, that just, you know, maybe 10 circuits that you can get on it. But you don't, with propane, it's cleaner. So you're not having to gum up all of the engine parts. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, with gasoline, the shelf life of it is maybe 6 months.
The power's cleaner too.
Yeah, the power's cleaner. Yeah. So, you know, not only is the way that it combusts cleaner, but also it, that generator is going to last a lot longer. So I think once you deliver that information, they say, oh, okay, that absolutely makes sense. Because I can tell you, my neighbor switched over to propane because we tried to start his generator after 3 years and it was like gunshots. That's how many, I mean, we just couldn't get it to go. And he said, I don't understand. I said, well, let me tell you, I mean, propane, it's there when you need it. It's not going to gum it up. And the low maintenance standpoint of it is just a deal sealer.
And Superstorm Sandy that came up the East Coast, there I remember generators that hadn't really run for a decade mm-hmm. fired right up,
mm-hmm.
which was a great story.
That's awesome.
So, Tom, let's take it to you just for a yep. moment. You know, love getting into the details, mm-hmm. the appliances you've chosen for this home. For those of us who are kind of wonky a little bit, we love it. But tell the listeners on Path to Zero kind of about the appliances that you chose, maybe why you chose them, what it meant to you, if you would.
Sure. Well, this house has a lot of appliances. It's, you know, it's built for entertaining, built for multi-generational use. So every space has its own appliances. So if you go up over the garage into the frog, you know, you can stay up there and make your popcorn or get a drink out of the refrigerator. So we use a lot of gas here because it's very efficient. So the dryer is gas. We have a small swimming pool. We like to heat that pool with gas because it would be very difficult to heat it with electricity. Mm-hmm. We really have 5 hot water heaters here. We have 2 for the house. We have 1 for the room of the garage. And then we have 2 heat pump helpers to help with that efficiency.
Now, heat pump helper is a term that maybe not many people will know. That's a heat pump, operates just like a heat pump for cooling and for heating the home in the 50, 60 degrees, knock a little chill off. But when it's really cold, something different happens, right?
Yeah, it really replaces the electric strip heating as a backup to a heat pump. Because you think about it, electric strip heating is very expensive. And as soon as the power is off, the strip's off, the heat goes away. With natural gas, with propane and water, you're actually much more efficient because you're running that coil through the air plenum. And you're able to heat the house in a kind of a more of an emergency situation when things are colder outside, and it's much more efficient.
And I don't know if any of y'all have lived in a home that was heated by hydronic heat.
Right.
So heat that came from heating water.
But, much healthier.
Oh, yeah. Not only is it healthier, it's just so much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I sold a home that had hydronic heat, and I wasn't happy until I put hydronic heat in my new home.
Yeah,
I can tell you, you did a good choice with this fireplace.
Yeah, it's cranking out. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad you're sitting there.
You know, I'll jump in real fast on the heat pump helper you guys have here. When I went in your attic and was looking at it, the first thing I think about is the amount of people that have a heat pump, especially in Alabama, right? Because typically, I say it doesn't get cold. I don't know. We get some sub-zero stuff all of a sudden. I don't know what's happening. But they have heat pumps, but most of them now have tankless gas water heaters.
Right.
So what a great way to supplement it without having to replace your whole system. Because
not an additional device.
Yeah, it's super efficient. That's a condensating model. It's not 98% efficient. And I mean, if anybody's paid a power bill, like in a week of January when it's 0 degrees outside with this auxiliary heat running, they're looking for another solution.
Because people talk about heat pumps being efficient. They are efficient at 50 degrees, 60 degrees.
Right.
They're horribly inefficient
at
0 degrees and not that efficient.
Colder,
that
30 degrees.
Well, for us, we build a lot in the mountain regions as well in North Carolina, and it gets very cold there. And so, you know, if you don't have a backup to a heat pump at all, then the house doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a great way of doing it versus having a separate furnace.
Yeah. If our customers don't have, you know, a high efficiency gas furnace, we have always tried to encourage them to put one of these guys in, you know, just so they have something, another heat source. Because we've been there, done that, right? I mean, at some point, they're going to go off power for an extended period of time. So,
is that pool on a heat pump? Or is that
that pool's got a gas heater.
A gas heater. Yeah.
So, let's see, just kind of go through the rundown here. You mentioned water heaters, pool heaters.
Yep.
I see the patio with a grill, fire pit.
Yep. And we also have a range, of
fire,
course.
Fire logs here and in every
and
single
And we also have some gas lamps on the entry port.
Gas dryers, which I love that.
Right.
Beautiful gas lights that really frame the front of the house. And then, as you just said, the most beautiful, in this case, GE monogram gas stove that would be, I would look forward to. Well,
cooking with gas is the way to go, right?
Yeah, so nice. Awesome. Well, great choice, and just looking forward to it. Look, I would look forward to living in this house every day. I don't know what part of the house I'd want to be.
I saw your wife signing something. I don't know what it was.
All right, y'all have used the word safe a couple times in this conversation. You've used it really in a way that I am not traditionally thinking about it. So let's pivot a bit to building a safe home, building a healthy home. Currently, I think maybe people don't realize it, propane is used in 13 million households across the country right now. Trusted by a lot of people, but let's say trusted by builders that, just like yourself. When you're building with propane, what are you thinking about when you think about safe and healthy? And Will, I want to start with you because you already tipped it off. You know, you got such a good perspective. I know you're college trained in medicine. We talked about that a little bit. Firefighter, so you're really thinking about
how I'm a builder. I have no idea.
You're thinking about health and safety in a completely different way than the average person.
Yeah, that's a big topic. I mean, we can talk about air quality. It would be a good conversation piece for this. So the way I explain it to people is that we build a house where it can't breathe, and then we put lungs on it. So houses have to ventilate. You know, people have always said, oh, you can build a house too tight. Well, they're absolutely correct, but you have to then ventilate it, right, somehow through mechanical ventilation. So that's something that we always do in houses through ERVs, and that's how we accomplish the ventilation portion. So with that being said, then you look into, I guess, the propane safety side, or really just any combustion in the house, right? I mean, if I have a ventless gas log, I'm not scared at all of that ventless gas log in my house, but just from an overall health, I want to have air exchange in my in my house, right? You guys agree with that? I mean, I think I saw an ERV here.
You got
this
an ERV, yep.
Yeah, so that's definitely one side is the air quality. but we also, you know, I'm a big believer, this sounds silly, but you can't have too many smoke detectors in the house. You can't have too many devices in place. It helps save your kids' lives, right? I mean, we talk about that at my house. We have, like, fire safety drills in my house. Probably a little overboard.
As you should.
Yeah. We have a plan in place on where we're going to go.
You've seen results of someone who didn't have
that. Yeah. You need to come to my house.
But here's the thing. They're all, all the fatalities that I've seen in the fire service related to a house fire, most of them are all preventable.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a simple device. And so, you know, I guess I think about the whole house when it comes to safety, from a resilient standpoint, from an air quality standpoint, just making sure families are protected. But, you know, propane specifically, you know, to me is a very safe energy to use, a gas to use in your house. It doesn't concern me at all. You know, you work with a good local professional, like this propane provider here's at Charleston Gas, I think might be on this one. Those guys know what they're doing. I mean, they're good at making sure everything from the tank all the way to those appliances is going to be squared away. So, and as long as you're having a good gas contractor involved too, I mean, it's a great safe option for
you. So gas detectors, carbon monoxide detectors.
Yep.
Practice, Combis. Have a safety plan and practice it. I appreciate your role as a firefighter. You've seen it.
And something as simple, I mean, we always make sure houses have like a water cutoff valve. And I know that sounds silly. But I don't want people to have to run to the road to get a meter key in the middle of the night to try to find if they have a plumbing leak. Same thing applies to gas, right? I mean, train your family, train everybody on how to go cut the gas off. It's really simple.
Either one of you guys have thoughts about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's one of the things we always train our clients when they move into their house is how do you cut off the gas? How do you cut off the water? Mm-hmm. You know, those things are necessary. So I think that's a very important part of this. But, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, I mean, there's some great technology that you can have. I mean, even water sensors.
The water bugs.
Yeah, the water bugs.
We've started doing those.
Yeah, it gives you
That's something you think about with your house?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because especially, I have a lot of clients that have, beach homes or lake homes, right? They're gone for an extended period of time that, maybe they're not turning off their water, but they have that little sensor that's in their basement. If that senses any kind of water, gives you a little, text on your phone, and then the valve solenoid shuts your entire water off. So they don't know that. You know, it's our job to deliver that.
That's right.
and making a safer home. I always love to kind of piggyback. ERVs are kind of it's kind of a lot to try to explain to a homeowner, yep. Right?
Yeah, what does ERV stand for?
You Energy Recovery Ventilator.
Yeah. Which you're taking the...
Glad you knew that.
Yeah.
taking the air from the outside, bringing it in.
Exchanging
taking
it.
Your air from the inside out, but passing it through a heat exchanger.
So you're really... also bringing it through a filter. So yeah. When you bring that air in, it's cleaner.
Yep. That's a part of y'all's modern thinking about how
if you, to... If you don't do that, the air inside a house is generally 2 to 3 times worse than it is outside.
Yeah.
If you don't do that properly.
And I'll do simple things like in my bathroom vents, you know, my bathroom fans, I'll make sure to put sensors on them, yeah. Right? Because those never get turned on, especially in a kid's room. Mm-hmm. So when you do have that...
Oh, that's my pet peeve.
Yeah, you have to turn them on. So now they have the sensors, so they sense that air quality that it goes out. Your hood here is the biggest hood I've ever seen on that kitchen. It's massive. But making sure that's efficient enough for the range that you have,
sounds
right?
Great point. We hadn't talked about it. But certainly if you're cooking with gas, or really if you're cooking with anything, you need to have a hood that's sized correctly and is vented to the outside.
And captures correctly as well, right? Yeah. And that's important. And this is a real testament to the safety of propane. Because we're in one of the most environmentally sensitive areas, I believe, in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here we have the propane, non-toxic, it won't harm soil. And they're welcoming it here. And I think that's a real testament to the safety of propane.
Yeah. And then y'all have used a couple times here, safety through the generator, in that whatever nature throws at you, you can live in this home and be safe. You can maintain communications and it's power your phones.
And I think here at the coast, you know, it's a house safety thing because if a big storm's coming, most people leave. Mm-hmm. You want to come back and find your house in good shape. Mm-hmm. But in the mountains, it's a life safety issue because many times there, you're frozen in place. Literally, you can't get in and out of your driveway.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have the ability to heat your house while you're there, then that can actually be dangerous. And so I think it can be life safety or just house safety.
Really appreciate y'all's viewpoints on that. To me, you reframe safety in a very different way. It's great. All right, let's make it personal for a moment. Personal for our industry, personal for y'all. You may or may not know, October the 7th is National Propane Day. And it's a way where we really honor the men and women that bring energy to our communities every day and from our own business. The people that we're talking about that are taking care of this home. But it's also a way to kind of bring a little bit more recognition to propane, how it works, what it's doing, how it's good for the environment. Let's just see, I mean, you're builders, you're close to your customers, but you're part of your own technology. Has propane impacted you personally, perhaps, in a way that maybe is worth telling listeners?
Well, I was sharing with you earlier, I grew up as a kid with a lot of propane, right?
Go ahead and tell them what you did. It's fascinating.
It wasn't this pretty underground tank that Tom installed out here. We had the old school 100-pound cylinders that me and Dad had to load in the back of the truck. Took 2 or 3 of us, you know, and we'd take it down to the local co-op and fill that thing up and come back and take it out. It was really heavy at that point. So that was, and we lived out in the middle of nowhere in Alabama, chicken farming. Yeah, it couldn't be more. And I think even the, I know they were. We had heaters like in the chicken houses that were all propane powered. Mm-hmm. It's been a part of my life forever. Back in, I think, 93, there was a huge ice storm that blew through North Alabama. And I was stuck with my grandparents for probably, I don't know, a solid week. And had it not been for we had no power for a week. They didn't have a generator. But they had a set of gas logs, and I remember in their living room, we were all just huddled up in there, staying warm. You know,
personal.
So, yeah, very personal. You couldn't do that without it.
So. How about you guys?
Yeah, you know, I've my father-in-law, he's in rural Missouri. He's a home builder out there. So, you know, in the city, in Kansas City, we use it, especially on the outskirts. But really, I've got to dive in and experience that propane is not just an energy; it's a way of life. Mm-hmm. And I started asking him about, you know, when do you put propane? What do you do with it? Where do you store it? And it was like, I don't build with anything else. We don't use anything else. It's literally their energy that gives them life. So that was, you know, for me, and the more that I learn about, I'm excited about the renewable propane that's coming on board. I think that there's so many innovations that are coming, not only with the energy form itself, but also within, you know, the appliances. that I think it's just a great, exciting time to be able to, you know, not only be energy efficient, but in a world that definitely needs some help environmentally, I think it's a great thing to be involved in. So for me, I'm delivering that personally, not only with my family and kind of, you know, I'm walking the walk and talking the talk. You know, I want to be able to, you know, deliver the information, but also be able to use it with my own family as well. And I see this just, it's just a way of life.
Yeah, you're definitely living it.
I love Thanks. It.
Tom, anything from you?
Yeah, for me, I'm a fairly independent kind of guy. And so when we built our farm, we chose propane. We had the ability to do other options, but we put in 3 propane tanks and they're all linked together. So if one of them runs out, I can cut on another one. And awesome. So we had natural gas available, but we chose to put propane in there. So we're working on some solar power as well. So yeah. Between the two of them, you know, if we wanted to take ourselves off the grid for a while, we could.
Yeah, and certainly nothing wrong with that. I mean, I find it's not either or. In fact, to me, the best systems generally are these hybrid systems.
I agree.
Totally right. All right, so we always have a couple great traditions on this podcast. One is to use a little bit of magic, use a magic wand and give you an opportunity. And here's the key, a few rules. Use the wand one time to change one thing in the next year. So lots of ones in there. One time, Ooh. One thing, one year that you think may have the most impact on building, on sustainability. But In your world, if I were to give this, I'll start with you, Tom. If I were to give you this magic wand and ask you to change one thing in the next year that you think would have the most impact on changing building and sustainability, how would you use it?
I think given what's happening this year in politics, I would say if I could wave a magic wand and remove politics from the equation for a year, where we just did the right thing, did the best thing, for the earth, for everybody here. You know, that's kind of a vague answer, but I believe a lot of times the solutions are out there, but politics sometimes can make it harder to implement them. So I would say let's get rid of that for 1 year.
Get rid of politics. It'd take magic to get rid of politics.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah. For the next 8 weeks for sure.
Right, yeah. Hey,
Matt, how would you use that wand?
One of my hardest things, and I'm sure you guys could agree with me in being a home builder, is finding good people. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is a sight with kids right now that they come out and being a contractor, being in the trades, you have to go to college, you have to, you know, have to have a college education. And really, that's not the case. You can make an amazing living being a home builder, being someone that works with your hands and be satisfied. Because at the end of the day, I don't know about you guys, when you build something,
drive around and see what you build.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It's incredible. And so I would love to, you know, wave a magic wand and just to kind of take that thought, because we need more, you know,
tradesmen.
We Bad. Need good, you know, we don't see a lot of kids and all of the older men, you know, my carpenter's he's 68, you know, he's ready to get. So I want kids to get excited and to see, you know, just talking about the innovations that we have, being able to talk with people, being able to work with your hands. You know, I would love for that, to kind of be, you know, brought throughout the United States, just so that we can see better men and women get into this
That's
trade.
True. Great use of the wand. Mm-hmm.
So mine's gonna be a little more specific. So if I could wave a magic wand in I'll say the Southeast, because this doesn't apply to all regions, I would get rid of vented crawl spaces and I would get rid of vented attics, and we'd build a better energy efficient house, because we want to make environmental changes. We want to be more green, but we're still building terrible houses that take a ton of energy. I don't care where it comes from, whether it's solar, gas powered, or nuclear powered. It's still requiring a lot of it to heat and cool a house that's
conditioned the whole envelope.
Yeah, we're heating and cooling all of outside at this point. And so I think if I could just wave that wand and make people just wake up and realize that, like, it'd make, I don't know, it'd make the world a better place.
Wow.
I really believe it.
Great. Yeah, I hadn't heard of a conditioned crawl space until maybe 10 years ago. And, building in environments like this, lots of moisture, it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Lots of moisture.
Yeah.
Moisture is not your friend.
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right, great. All right, so one more fun thing we do, and this can be fast. We love to plant a tree in a national forest, but sometimes we deviate, in honor of the expertise you're sharing with our listeners. And awesome. We really do go to great lengths to make sure those trees get planted. Matt, we want to plant a tree in your honor. Where would we put it?
Oh, gosh. I love Colorado. That's this is like my favorite spot on the planet. I'm closer to it now being in Kansas City.
Yeah, you got it closer.
I really am. And
is there a certain national forest area that comes to mind?
Oh, I mean, gosh, anything Rocky Mountains. I mean, I skied Vail, okay. You know, put it near a ski resort. That's fantastic. Not for me to run into it.
Yeah. Not in the middle of the slope.
Yeah.
Producer Russ will find that spot. It's good.
I mean, I've seen palm trees. There's nothing like looking at, you know.
All right. A Californian relocated to Missouri has chosen Colorado. What's an upstate Carolinian going to choose here?
I'm going to choose Tennessee. Growing up, I used to go camping with my family in the Great Smoky Mountains, like trout fishing. So that's the Cherokee National forest system there. So that's where I would pick. Beautiful. I just have great memories from
beautiful
that growing
spot.
Up.
We'll be honored to plant one there right outside of Cherokee. It's beautiful. All right, what's a native Alabaman choose?
So I want a live oak brought to my place in Alabama. So the last time I was here, we were here a couple years ago, I went back and I saw one at Tractor Supply of all places, a live oak, and I bought it. And it's actually growing. People said it wouldn't grow in North Alabama. They're wrong. It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
So if you could plant another one there, I would love it because they're the prettiest thing I've ever seen. These
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. And bring some moss with it too.
Yeah, yeah. The moss is the hard part.
It's not the same if I don't have the moss.
Yeah. That's funny. Look, I cannot thank you all for sharing your expertise. We've got work to do on planting trees and rethinking magic wands. But just as you have kind of shared how propane intersects with your life, what a great day. Tom, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Just what you've created here.
Well done.
And as Matt's talking about people thinking about their future, I know each of us sitting in these chairs think what a grand opportunity for any tradesperson to think that their hands created something this beautiful. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. And to everyone listening to Path to Zero, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Path to Zero with Tucker Perkins. If you like what you've heard, subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast app. You can email us with questions or comments to pathtozero@propane.com.